Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively into summer. Ravens are out on the field right now. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We will be at Costas this week in Timonium, moving it around. We're Coco's on the 26th of next month, putting together more stuff. We were Pizza John's last week at Essex, and I'm trying to work out breakfast at State Fair a little later on in the month, and maybe a dinner over at the Fishmonger's Daughter. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I will have Raven scratch offs with the cool Kiss Bird to give away. Lucky batch so far in Essex last week. Also, our friends at GBMC, which is what this segment's all about, and getting some better sleep. I was on a bus all night back from New York. I slept sort of upside down, but I don't have any sleeping problems. But for people who do, like my cat who keeps me awake all night, who keeps my wife awake all night, and she's got a real job, not like me. Our friends at GBMC, and I'm wearing my Walk a Mile shirt here from a couple months ago, but I always like to point out that they are local right here in Baltimore County, taking care of people, making babies and keeping people healthy and doing all sorts of things. And they have all sorts of ways to help you. Dr. Stephanie Wapple is, I'm reading right from the sheet here, sleep medicine, sleep medicine. And, I remember when I was a little boy, Lawrence Welk would come on and say to my mom, just take a Sominex, and go to sleep. I think we've come a little way over the last 50 years. Doc, good day to you. How are you? Did you sleep well last night? Do sleep doctors sleep well?
Yes, we tried to. Yes, I did last night. Thank you.
What do people need to know about sleep in a general sense? This, A, how important it is, right? And 8 hours a day, we hear all of that. I'm a weird cat. I'm pushing up on 60. I know I look younger than that when I shave, but I sleep a lot less than I used to. I'm in better shape than I've ever been, despite what my doctors might tell me at GBMC and my Planet Fitness partners. But, I'm a hot yoga guy and I do a lot of meditation like that. I sleep 4 or 5 hours a day. For me, it feels incredibly normal to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I go about my day. Sometimes I take a little nap because I am getting a little older and my Venezuelan blood allows me to take a siesta in the afternoon and my lifestyle. But in a general sense, I don't sleepwalk through days. I don't feel tired. I drink some coffee, but in a general sense, I'm not a person that would come to you and say, help me. But boy, do I know a lot of people that have trouble sleeping.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we all need sleep. Most adults need average 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And I think one of the most important things is trying to keep yourself on a some kind of consistent schedule and rhythm, and really prioritizing the things that help you, the things that are sleep promoting between your bedtime and rise time. That's how I like to word it for my patients. I say there's no good or bad here. It's not a moral issue. It's more of a what helps you sleep versus maybe helps you stay awake.
Yeah, I spent my teenage years working at the Baltimore Evening Sun, and we put the paper out all night. So 5 nights a week, I worked night shift from the time I was 17 till I was like 23 during the week. And it was before cell phones, so you couldn't be awakened. You'd have to turn your phone off. And just I sort of adjusted to it, but I read up on circadian rhythms and what humans are supposed to do and why my cat's awake all night hunting all sorts of things in the summer out the windows. I the normal part of being a human and circadian rhythms. What is your belief or what is scientific belief about we're supposed to sleep at night, kind of sort of, aren't we?
Yes, ideally. So we actually have a natural kind of pacemaker cells inside of our brain that keep our internal clock. And if left to no external cues, it actually would run a little longer than 24 hours. So we need these external cues, particularly the blue light from the sun, to keep our natural clock on a 24-hour, to keep our natural like brain on a 24-hour schedule. And so it is really important to have those external cues when you need them to kind of keep that aligned with a normal schedule.
I appreciate you doing a 101 with me. Dr. Stephanie Wapple is here. She's over at GBMC. They are our partners, and I try to educate folks on all sorts of things. This is something that I'm really sort of naturally ignorant about because I've never sort of watched a documentary or seen anything on TV. I've never had a sleep problem. My dad had sleep apnea, but he's been dead 30 years, and the science, I'm sure, was way different in the late 80s for someone that worked in the steel mill and, had all sorts of other issues. My question for you would be is if I sent someone in, or someone was having sleep problems, or maybe even the number one reason people come to you. But when they come to you, I would think the first thing you would do to me is observe me and say, What's keeping you awake? What are you eating? When are you working out? When are you working? What's on your mind? Do you have problems? Are there things on your mind? Are you counting balloons on the ceiling trying to get to sleep? I'm not that cat. I mean, I'm just not. Like, I literally, and I had a really interesting conversation. I'll bring this up with you because a friend of mine and I were chatting about dreams and dreaming about a week and a half ago. And I actually said to my wife like 3 days ago, I'm like, it's not that I don't dream. I know I do, and you're going to tell me I do, and every smart doctor will tell me I do. I haven't remembered a dream in so long, not a nightmare, not a good dream, not a weird fever dream kind of thing in forever. Doc, I sleep like a freaking rock. And so I'm doing a segment with you, and I don't even, I why do people come to you? Because it just wouldn't be what I would do.
Yes, no, that's a great point. I mean, there are fortunately a lot of people who sleep well, don't have any daytime impairment, even if they maybe don't get as many hours of sleep. Some people don't necessarily need as many hours. The main reasons people come to us, the two main complaints are sleep apnea or snoring, difficulty breathing during sleep, and insomnia, which is kind of a bit of an umbrella term for difficulty initiating sleep. Frequent awakenings or sort of that early morning awakening with difficulty falling asleep. Some people wake up maybe once every night around 3 a.m., go back to sleep very quickly, and if it's
Well, when
not
you're
causing any
57 in
daytime
male,
impairment.
when you're 57 in male, you get up, go to the
Yes.
bathroom. You just
I
do.
do hear that. Yes. And as long as it's not causing any daytime impairment, it's not necessarily a problem. So just because all humans sleep doesn't mean they all need a sleep doctor, but there are a lot of things with sleep that we can help our patients with.
Well, if I came to you, you'd say, how much do you sleep? And I'm like 4 or 5 hours a day. And you'd be like, you're not getting enough sleep. And I'd be like, I've been doing this for 15 years. I'm not one of those guys. And again, I make my own schedule. If I had to be somewhere at 7 o'clock in the morning teaching children or saving the world or do, it would change my life dramatically, I think, if I had to go on that sort of a rhythmic sleep. But I don't have any complaints about it. But people that come, I guess their biggest issue is it's really screwing up their daytime, right? Like they sleepwalk during the day because they're not sleeping at night. Where do you begin? Do you begin with diet? Do you begin with your bed? I mean, there's a million factors that could factor into why you're staring at the ceiling at night, correct?
Yes, and that is why I love sleep medicine so much because there are so many layers to it. I begin with getting a sense of what's the main, what's the patient's kind of main complaint or concern. And then I do take a full, thorough sleep history where I ask, what time do you typically go to bed? What time do you get up in the morning? How many times do you perceive you wake up overnight? What do you do during the day? And I do ask about eating. I do ask about caffeine and other substances. I think you made an important point about your schedule, and it sounds like you do have the opportunity to also take a nap during the day, which for you may allow you to get enough hours of sleep in your 24-hour day, and it
I
sounds
love
like
this
you are
work from
able to
home thing.
function.
Well, I would say for anyone that comes to you and we're chatting with Dr. Stephanie Wappel at GBMC, if you're having sleep problems, where do you start? Because I mean, I made a joke about Somnex. Somebody'd say, well, take a pill, take a drug, get some cannabis, take a sleep this, that, wear yourself out a little bit more. I don't know, count sheep, right? I mean, that was my parents would tell me, 100 bottles of beer on the wall. Whatever you would do, where do you start with someone to say, from a medication standpoint to a let's take a look at your breathing. Let's take a look at, because I would say observation's probably everything because somebody comes in and tells you how they're sleeping until you see it, you might not be able to help them, right?
Right, exactly. And so there are some people who come with kind of pure insomnia, and we don't really have concerns about their breathing during sleep. And that's where you really dive into their habits and their sleep patterns and see if there are things that you can reframe and help them with. Cognitive behavioral therapy is actually the mainstay of primary treatment for insomnia if there is no physical reason why the person has insomnia. So that can be really helpful for patients. You know, the counting sheep, actually, there is some science behind that. We
Why
call it
sheep? I need to know
that
sheep. Why not cats or
I don't
dogs?
know. That I don't know. I'm sure it's some agricultural history, but
Well, sheeps are calming. If I counted snakes, I'd be up all night, right?
That's fair. That's fair. We do call it paradoxical intention, where you try to shift your focus from trying to fall back to sleep to something else that's sort of like, I tell the patients sometimes to, you know, recite a poem or song lyrics that are kind of familiar to them if they don't like to count sheep or snakes.
I could think of some sleepy lullaby songs or something like that. So if my wife dragged me into you and said, "He's nuts. He only sleeps 4 hours a day. I don't understand. Is there anything wrong with that?" And I would say this because I like telling stories about my father. My dad passed away 33 years ago, but he worked at the point, he was an older father to me, 50 years older than me, and I was adopted. And I used to watch him take me out to Oriole games in the 70s and 80s, get home at 11 o'clock at night on the bus. And his alarm was set at 4:20, 4:30 every morning. He worked in the steel mill, and he got up at 4:30 and packed the lunch and got on the bus and went to the mill and came home. Never napped in his life, never even got sleepy. But he was 55, 56, 57. And I'm 55, 56, 57. And all of a sudden, I'm that guy that can sort of roll on 5 hours of sleep. I don't really understand it. And I know being married to peripostmenopausal wife at this point that women bodies change in their 30s, 40s, 50s. I would even ask you to scientific, why do I sleep less? And why is it so normal for me? And why was it normal for my dad when you get older?
I think, you know, for your, I mean, very different times. So I think, you know, for your father, it was a little more acceptable in society for particularly men to not get as many hours of sleep. People didn't prioritize sleep. I think in your case, if your, you know, wife or anyone, you know, a loved one had concerns about your limited sleep time, I would ask some questions about why are you waking up so early in the morning or having difficult or going to bed later than maybe would be, maybe your internal clock would want you to do. So we probably would tease that out a little more to see if there is anything going on, either behaviorally or maybe there is some snoring or sleep apnea waking you up in those early morning hours to empty your bladder, making it difficult to fall back to sleep. So we only have our own frame of reference for how we feel during the day and what our sleep is like. And so sometimes talking it out, some things come up that maybe you didn't realize as you go through your day to day.
Do you give any general, like, don't drink caffeine after 2 in the afternoon if you want to go to bed? You know, just simple sort of, don't eat late at night. It'll mess, you know, don't eat spicy stuff at 11 o'clock at night and try to go to bed. I mean, these are pretty basic common sense, I guess, in some cases, but some people might come to you and not have common sense and still have trouble sleeping. But what are some common sense things that you could pass along to tell me that might help me sleep that fifth or sixth hour?
Yeah, so, you know, I try not to do any like black and white, like you should do
Sure.
this or this is good or bad. But certainly when people are coming to me with issues with sleep, I do give some general
You're the sleep
recommendations.
doctor. If I'm out having happy hour, I'd be like, help me. This would be what I'd be saying to you over that, you know, but.
So I like to think about you know, setting a kind of bedtime and before that for the 30 minutes or so before that to kind of have that be your sort of wind down and make everything between that time and your rise time be sort of sleep promoting things. So cutting off eating fluids, you know, caffeine much earlier in the day to sort of get ready for that bedtime and that wind down, and then certainly avoiding screens, social interactions, task-oriented things right before bed or certainly in bed or in the middle of the night, because those are very wake-promoting. So it's going to be harder to fall asleep or maintain sleep.
Anyone that knows me knows that I get a little cranky sometimes in November, especially when the Orioles don't win the World Series again for the 43rd year, or if the Ravens aren't playing good football. But man, the minute we start screwing with the clocks, right around Halloween, and my birthday's October 14th, so sometime between my birthday and let's say Thanksgiving, we get into this like It's dark at 4:30. It's dark in afternoon drive. It screws with my radio signal and AM radio too, so I don't like that either. Especially when the Ravens are doing well and I'm in a good mood. We hear so much about that sort of seasonal doldrums and the sunshine. And I already mentioned circadian rhythms, even though I don't know what exactly what it means. I know it means I'm supposed to go to bed at night and be awake during the day. Teach me about this sunshine situation here and what it means and the Sunshine Protection Act. And I know it gets hyper political, and I also know it's societal. You know, in other societies where they grow corn and they grow food and they have crops and farmers, I've always heard about, you know, daylight savings time was tied to farmers in our country. I don't know really what it does other than depress the hell out of everybody in November. And we all get excited in July when it feels like being in Northern Europe when it's 9:15 and you can still, you know, see light. But there is a big difference in this country, in our society, right here in Baltimore, over whether it's dark at 4:30 or whether it's dark at 9 o'clock at night, and the weather and the time and how much daylight we get in a day, and why I don't really want to live in Alaska in the winter and not experience daylight. I've done a little bit of that for a day or two. It's a little weird when the sun comes up at like 11 in the morning and sets at 2 in the afternoon. Talk to me about the sun and about that, because I know that that's really a big part of your job, right, at this point, for all the doctors to be examining this and saying what's really best for our society and our economy too.
Yeah, so very important subject. So the American Academy of Sleep Medicine's position is very much in favor of permanent standard time. So standard time means that noon is when the clock is directly overhead. That is the healthiest for our circadian rhythms and the healthiest for our physical and mental health. So many things in our body and our brain rely on these external cues. And when the sun is directly overhead at noon, that allows us to keep everything aligned. As we go into the summer, the days get longer. So we have more sunshine per day, no
That's why
matter
we all
what.
love summer. That's why we're all so
Right.
happy.
So if you notice, you know, but right before the time change, the days are already starting to get longer. So we're not able to add more sunshine to our day. What we're able to do, or what we potentially can do, is allow people to live on a schedule that best aligns with our internal clock and helps keep our bodies as healthy as possible. So the daylight savings time actually started to try to save, I believe, save oil and save money during one of the world wars. And that's when they started shifting the clocks. And over time, there's been some misconception about daylight savings being arguably better. It's actually really not better for our health. But now we spend more time in daylight savings time than we do in standard time. Which the shift alone, the shift that we have 2 times a year, the time change can have some short-term effects on people's health, and including, you know, more car crashes, increased risk of heart attacks and stroke as we change to the you know, as we change and do that spring forward. But moving to permanent daylight savings time would risk having much darker mornings, particularly in the winter. In some parts of our country, the sunrise wouldn't be until after 8 a.m., which is kind of concerning, especially for our children going to school and going, you know, waiting for the buses. So it doesn't give us more sunshine. It just, you know, kind of shifts things sort of permanently, which is a little concerning. I think the main focus is that standard time is the best for our health, mentally, and our mental health and our physical health.
Dr. Stephanie Wopples here. She's with our partners at Cheat BMC. They send us out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with our friends at the Maryland Lottery and our partners at Farnan and Dermer. We'll be back at Costas and Timonium this week, not far from the GBMC main campus, but there's GBMC off-campus locations available everywhere. I'm going to be talking more about that as we get into the year. And I will just leave you with this. The November thing, I sleep more and earlier, like everyone, when the sun goes down. That's part of being human, right? Like the November doldrum thing, that's like a real thing in this country, right? Like it really is. Darkness brings some depression, does it not?
So it does, but actually, interestingly, several countries have tried to go to permanent daylight savings time. Russia did it. Morocco more recently did it. They ended up changing that because what they did see was that there was an increased risk of seasonal depression, particularly in children and adolescents during those winter months by shifting to be in daylight savings time permanently. So yes, we when it's darker out longer during the day, that does affect our mental health. Some people are more sensitive to it than others, particularly adolescents. But getting those morning hours of sunlight does help boost our mood, our energy level, helps us stay awake and alert. Helps us even have more energy to exercise earlier on in the day. So that is a way to kind of counteract that. We just haven't experienced it in so long because we've been on, we've been shifting, and now we shift so late in the year that it's harder to recalibrate.
Well, I always look at it like I get a couple extra hours a day for the people that sleep 8 hours
Yeah.
a day. So I get more living, more time to do this work. You ask me what I do with my extra time? I work. I sort of like my work, so that's
I
what
hear
I
you.
do. Unfortunately, Dr. Stephanie Wopple is here. She loves her work as well. She is a sleep medicine person, trying to help me get some sleep. And if you need her, she's over at GBMC, and we'll certainly send out a link for doing that. It's nice to know that you're there if I ever struggle. But at this point, I just run, 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 and then the Orioles game ends. At some point, I pass out, I wake up, and I do it all over again. So I hope to continue to do that. Thanks again for your time and for the education part of this. Any parting shot that what people need to know, and when should they call you? Like when is not getting enough sleep really, other than just complaining about it and saying, I didn't sleep well last night, or cat kept me awake. that's our issue here, is our cat being awake in the middle of the night. But lately, at least in summertime. But in a general sense, when's the right time to call you?
You're concerned about having such poor quality sleep that you're sleepy during the day. It's starting to affect your mood. It's starting to affect your, relationships, work productivity. Certainly, if you're having any difficulty breathing during sleep, or if you're, waking up with headaches and snoring, and really, I mean, we help patients with any sleep issue whatsoever.
If
So
your
if you
spouse
have enough
is mad at
concern.
you in the middle of the night saying, dude, you're snoring all night, it's a good idea to get checked out, right? I mean,
It
my
is a good
dad was that
idea.
guy. My dad, my God,
Yeah.
like he would snore and it would, I mean, the whole hat, it was Fred Flintstone-y. And I'm sure he had I know he had an apnea, but this is a long, long time ago before diagnosis. But I would think this in some cases, to be honest, a lot of dudes listen to me, their wives say, hey, this isn't good. I know what that shake, that sound, all of that. If my wife were doing that, I'd be like, get over to the doc. You got to get this checked out. But I wouldn't listen to her, which is how I wound up with GBMC anyway, because if someone, you wouldn't know it, and your spouse or your sleeping partner hears it, feels it, that's a good push to say, hey, something's going on in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. Snoring often is not benign. And again, people can have different symptoms and they don't necessarily realize how it's affecting them. So that's why we do a thorough sleep history and health history to figure out if it's more than just snoring and if it actually is causing issues with their health.
I snore when I'm really tired or when the Ravens lose and wear me out. Dr. Stephanie Wopple is here. She is over at GBMC. She helps folks get a better night of sleep. And for that, we're all grateful. Thanks again for your time and the education part. And I'm sorry I don't understand the circadian rhythms, and I'm not the guy with the sleep problem, but it's nice to know you're on the wall if I need you, okay? Dr. Stephanie Wopple here is part of our inclusive, and we continue to talk about all sorts of things. This was more fun than discussing my colonoscopy. I must say that, but I'm feeling healthier, and my friends at GBMC have helped me out, and they can help you out as well. We talk about it all the time. They're out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour with me at Costas this week. We'll be giving away the Raven scratch-offs. I do love the new tickets. They're a great color. Also, our friends at Farnan and Dermer, it's getting a little hot inside. They are HVAC specialists as well as plumbing. You can reach them at 410-367-7777. And by the way, any breaking news with the Orioles and trading deadline available first on the WNST Tech Service. That is all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. It's almost football season. It's definitely baseball season. It's summer season. Stay up late and enjoy yourself. It's summertime. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.